Let's talk to God for a moment, and then we'll get into the Word. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, we thank you for your Word that was written down, that was preserved and carried on from generation to generation, God, that we could read and study and know it, Lord God, that we could, God, bind it to our hearts, God, as a roadmap to live our lives by. God, righteously before you, bringing you glory and honor, God, through our actions, our words, and our deeds. And Father, I ask that as your Word is delivered today, God, that you would use me as your vessel, God, that your Word, God, of truth and life-giving power would go forth, God, penetrating the hearts, the ears, the minds of the hearer, Lord God. God, that they would be touched. God, that they would be changed by the power of your Word. God, that they would be blessed to be a blessing to those around them, Lord God. And Father, I just ask that you would open their hearts and minds to receive it. God, as a seed planted in fertile soil, God, that it would begin to grow and develop and flourish within them, Lord God, bringing forth a harvest, God, that is promised in your Word, Lord God. And we just thank you for that today. God, we ask your blessing upon those gathered here and those watching, listening online. Father, that your grace and mercy would go before them. God, that your blessing of peace would rest upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Is everyone as lethargic as I am today? The 90-degree heat, it just absolutely zapped me last week. And I had to stand out there for hours and hours at baseball, and it was awesome. But I was talking to someone, and I'm like, if hell is any warmer than this, I mean, it's one thing that keeps me pointed to heaven, like, because I don't want anything to do with it. And I'm pretty sure it's hotter than 93. So if that's what it takes to steer me to heaven, Lord, keep the heat coming. But I pray for snow. So we're going to jump into the Word. I've titled today, Keep Digging. Keep Digging. Sometimes, I mean, digging is weary work. When I was building houses, we dug a lot of foundations and mostly used equipment, but there was always some sections or pieces you had to get a shovel or a pick and get after it physically digging. And it's hard work, especially when you get through the topsoil and hit the clay, or even more likely around here is the bull rock or the river rock or just the hard rock or the rock. Yeah. And it's tough. Digging is hard work. But when we dig deep enough, we get to a good foundation. We get back to something that's solid, something that we can hang on to. Or if we dig deep enough, we hit water that produces life, gives life, and sustains life. So in the book of John, chapter 4, we find Jesus at a well. He's traveling with his disciples. They come to this well. I'm in chapter 5, that's why it's the wrong story. Okay, back into chapter 4, verse 7 through 14. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you only knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So somebody had to dig deep. Jacob had to dig deep to get this well to produce water, to produce life. But one thing that this Samaritan woman is missing, like, there's more. Don't rest on the depth of those who have gone before you, but rather use it as a building block to take you to the next step. Continue digging deeper. Jesus, as he's exchanging with this gal, says, "Oh, but there's better water." There's a better source. There's better life. Don't stop, but continue digging. Dig deep. What is it that you need to dig into in your life? What are the wells of your life that need dug open, that need revisited, that need expanded, that need grown and developed? Don't just leave it where the last generation left it. Yes, it's awesome and it's great, but continue moving forward, continue progressing, continue doing better. Continue doing better. Deep wells have been dug. There are those who have gone before us who have dug deep wells. There are those who have gone before us that have laid the foundation, or maybe even your first generation Christian, and you're the one digging the well to lay the foundation. But wells are supposed to be generational. The well of God's blessing in my life, I want it to be greater in my life than it was in my grandparents and my parents, and I want my kids to experience a greater level of blessing in their life because of the wells I've dug in my life. The wells I've dug into my emotional health, my mental health, my spiritual health, my physical health. I want that to carry on into them and be magnified, not plateaued, not diminished, but to continue growing and getting better and better. But we have to do the work now. The wells we dig should be generational. She says, you know, Jacob even drank from this well, and not only him, but his sons drank from this well. And not only them, but their livestock. And it produced life for all those around. But with God, there's so much more. Jesus says, yeah, you drink here, you're going to be thirsty. But if you drink of my living water, you have eternal life. You have a lot more to look forward to. We need to look with that eternal aspect of living generationally. What am I doing for the next generation? What am I doing for those to come behind me? And not just directly my personal children, but also in my community, in my church, in the lives of those I touch. What am I doing for the next generation? Why do I coach baseball in the spring? So I can go love on 17 kids that aren't mine. Tell them how amazing they are and push them to their potential, to their next level in life as well. Not because I love giving up 3 or 4 hours a day for 3.5 months. Coaches coach because they love kids. They probably love the sport they're coaching too. It's about shaping up young men and women, propelling them into a better future. The wells we dig should be life-giving. What wells are you digging? Hopefully good ones, right? I've dug some wells in my life that weren't so prosperous. You know, you're shoveling deep and just throwing the dirt up over your head and it's falling. Pretty soon you're so deep you can't dig yourself out. Anybody else been there? You don't have to raise your hand. We've dug some bad wells in our lives that got bitter water or foul water or tainted water or whatever word you want to put on it. We've dug some bad relationships. We've dug some bad habits. Don't stop there. Continue digging good wells. So how do we continue to keep digging? We have to continue returning back to the well. We've got to do more work on the well or it will cave in. It will slough off. We have to keep it up to date. James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. One way to keep digging is submit yourselves then to God. Submit your life to God. So I want to go deeper, God. I want to be a better parent. I want to be a better husband, spouse, friend, employee, employer. Better citizen of community. Better citizen of this earth. Dig those wells in your life by first submitting yourself to God. Resist the devil or those temptations, and he will flee from you. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. That's his promise. What's the first step? I've got to come near to him. I've got to engage in a relationship with him and dig in that well of a relationship with the living God. I've got to get my shovel. I've got to show up and say, God, here I am. I've got to have alone time with him. I've got to have relational communication time with him. I've got to get in his word, see what he says about how Arby should be living his life. I've got to meet together with the greater body of Christ and sharpen myself one to another, growing, developing together. And then he tells us to wash our hands. Like, cleanse yourself. What impurities are in you? Right? What do I need washed of? What do I need cleansed of? God, cleanse me. I love David's Psalms. He just constantly is like, God, cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Cleanse me of my evil desires. Cleanse me of anything that is not of you. Like, renew in me. That's something we have to do, is keep coming back. Continue returning. God, I failed today. Oh, I messed up. I missed heaven now. No. Return to the well. Ask forgiveness. Receive it. And continue moving forward, digging better wells in your life. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Continually returning to revive, refresh, reconnect, and eventually encounter. The Samaritan woman had an encounter with Jesus Christ, the living water, that day. We have to continue reconnecting or returning to have an encounter like she had that day. And her story was, she had had five husbands and was living with a guy she wasn't married with. And Jesus said, none of that matters. Just go and sin no more. Like, today you can start digging a new well of your salvation. And she chose that path. And she went back, and then the whole community met Jesus because of her testimony of the well she began to dig. You can start today. Just continue returning to that well of life-giving water, Jesus Christ. Do the work, draw the water. Well digging is hard work. And before we had fancy electric wells with pumps in them, expend the energy to get life-giving water. Proverbs 28, 18 through 20. Proverbs 28, 18 through 20. The one whose walk is blameless is kept safe, but the one whose ways are perverse will fall into the pit. Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. A faithful person will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. How important is it for us to work, to walk righteously before God, that we may be blessed by his hand, that we may see a profit or a gain, that we may be fed and well taken care of. We have to go forth and do the work to draw the water, to receive the blessings of God. Walk righteously before him. Work wholeheartedly. Do the work with great faithfulness. Faithfully going and doing the work over and over and over. With great character. What do other people say about you and your character? How do you treat them? How you engage with them relationally, financially, business-wise? What do people say about you? Have great character when you're digging your well. Integrity. How is your integrity? Who are you when nobody's watching? Who are you when nobody's around but you and Jesus? Have great integrity as you go to work digging the well of your life. Don't cut corners As the Word of God tells us, those eager to do so will not go unpunished. Commitment. How well do you uphold your commitment? If you say you're going to be somewhere, do you show up? Do you show up on time? Do you show up late? We started the season with 18 baseball players. First week of the season is trial and error. If you don't like it at the end of the week, come shake our hand, say, this isn't for me, walk away. But if after that week you say, coach, I'm part of the team, you better stick it out to the end of season, right? We had 18 show up. At the end of the first week, one kid said, not really my cup of tea. Thanks for your time. See you later. Good luck on the season. The other 17 said, we're all in, coach. Some of those kids didn't get a lot Friday and get the second place in the state trophy because they kept their commitment. And that's a pretty small commitment. You gave somebody your word, yeah, I'll stay on the team till the end of season. Compared to some of our greater commitments, like do you, Arby, take Kathleen? That's slightly bigger than baseball. And she said, I guess. Right? When I asked her to marry me, she really said, I guess. She swears now, she said, heck yes. And I don't blame her. I wasn't digging good wells at that point in my life. Anyway, back on track. Hold to your commitments. When you've committed to something, follow through. Do what you said you will do. Do it in a timely manner. Show up on time. Be 100% present. We tell our kids in baseball, it's like, look, some of you aren't gifted athletes. Some of you don't even know the game. You're learning it this year for the first time. You don't even know what a home run is. We don't care about that. What we care about is attitude and effort. Those are two things you have 100% control of, attitude and effort. And if you'll give us that every day of practice, we'll give you the skills you need to learn the game and know it. Dig deeper. Sometimes you dig and it's like, yeah, we dug and we didn't get the results we wanted, so we're just going to give up. Sometimes you have to go to that next level and just dig a little deeper. Sometimes you're all right. This is getting really hard. I don't like the results. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm done. But you need to just dig a little deeper. That's not fun, is it? Anybody else? Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Or I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can do all things, not of myself, but with Christ at my side. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In my early guiding days, my first year on the North Fork was a huge snowfall year. And Hoodoo Pass, going over to Superior, Montana, had about 33 feet of snow. So we weren't getting through that way. And then down Black Canyon had huge avalanches all the way up through Elizabeth Creek. There were like 13 avalanches that year. And then over on the Kelly Creek side, Jenny Creek was like a 40-foot deep avalanche that completely dammed up the whole river. And actually the water washed out and made a snow bridge across the whole Kelly Creek, which is like Clearwater size. Like we're talking major avalanches. So my whole first bear hunting spring guiding was on a four-wheeler. Running around, I didn't have any rain gear, I didn't have waterproof boots. It was miserable, nasty, and we had about 50 baits going that had to be kept track of every single day. Baiting the baits, getting the hunters to baits, getting the hunters back from baits. And it rained every single day of the season. It was miserable. It was rough. It was tough. It was like, if you don't quit there, you're not going to quit, right? So I remember we were getting into June, or July rather. We got clear through bear season on four-wheelers. Still don't have a truck in camp. Like, man, we need to get a vehicle in here. And the pass had melted and melted and melted, and it got down to about a half mile up top. But the snow's still like 12 feet deep in the middle of the pass because the wind blows and piles it up extra deep. Like, man, we really need to get the horses in here and start packing in elk camps and getting ready for elk season. So what do? But grab your chainsaw and start cutting ice blocks. So four of us for 3 days worked on this pass with chainsaws, wheelbarrows, cutting ice blocks and throwing them in the wheelbarrow and dumping them over the mountain and cutting and dumping and cutting and dumping. No, that was extra work. We were busy enough, no igloos. It would have been cool all though. Great idea. So like, man, is this snow ever going to go away? Is it ever going to melt? Are we ever going to get a truck to camp? It's finally on July 7th. We brought the first vehicle into our camp. But sometimes you have to dig a little deeper. You have to put in the effort. You have to put in the work to get better results in your life. Because we can move a lot more stuff in a one-ton truck than we can a four-wheeler. You know what I'm talking about? If you're willing to press in and dig deep and push hard and do the extra work in your life, in your marriage, in your parenting, in your occupation, you can get the much better results. But you've got to dig deep to do that. You can't just go with status quo. You can't just be apathetic toward your marriage, your parenting, your workplace. It's good enough. You know, I almost got on base. That was good enough. I started at home plate, walked back to the dugout, but that was good enough. That attitude's never going to win a game. I might have struck out today, but my next at bat, I'm crushing the ball. How well do you dig the wells of your life when they fall flat and you fail? Do you carry that failure with you into the next play, the next season, the next year, the next decade? Hopefully not into the next life, because that's eternity. Some people will let that failure carry them into eternity, and it's not heaven. Some of them will refuse to repent and ask forgiveness, and they'll find themselves in hell. That's the disadvantage of not digging deep or not digging new wells in your life. You spend eternity in hell. But Jesus made a way. Expand your capacity, engage, don't disengage, stay the course. Stay the course. I never knew I could cut igloo blocks with a chainsaw until one day. The lesson I learned that day is all things are possible if you put your mind to it and go after it and work hard, no matter how mountainous the obstacle may seem. You can do this. Isaiah 46:10. The next step in digging deep is don't give up. Don't quit. Isaiah 46:10. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. God knows the beginning from the end. He knows what's going on. Sometimes we just need to not quit, not give up, and allow His plan time to process and happen. Just recently had some friends drill a well. The first well driller said, "There's no water here, but we dug you a nice hole." They could have gave up right there and said, "Well, that was a bummer. That was an expensive hole to dig. You know, sometimes we dig expensive holes in our lives. Don't give up. Don't quit. So they called on a second well driller, a second opinion. Hey, can you help us out? Yeah, I think I can help you out. I think I can get you water. Of course, there's never any guarantees, right? Just punching a hole into the earth. They get the second driller there. He comes and starts drilling, and pretty soon they have 12 gallons a minute. Of course, we did go through a lot of prayer also. I believe the hand of God was with them and gave them water in their well. But you still have to go through the process of engaging people and saying, I need your help. There's still the physical side as well as the spiritual side. Don't leave either undone, but don't give up and don't quit. Continue digging. Keep digging. No matter how hard it seems, endure, persevere, and overcome. Sometimes when we're digging, we get tired, we get worn out, and we short circuit. Right? I'm done. I'm having a mental breakdown. That's what we call it in society today. But we really sometimes just short circuit and we're done, we're out. I think it was a week ago. I had a whole circuit line of outlets in our house go out. And that wasn't so bad, except for it was the circuit that our internet was on. Lost Wi-Fi. So it went from not too bad to horrific. I'm just kidding. But for some people, that would be major meltdown, right? It's not too bad at our house when we lose Wi-Fi. We're pretty easily entertained. We have Brielle. Anyway, I'm not an electrician. Like, electricity scares me, if I'm being honest. Like, I've been shocked. I don't like to be shocked. It's not fun. You know, you had friends when you're little. Oh, grab this wire. Okay. You know, like, are those really friends, although? Anyway, I don't like electricity. And I'm, like, looking around, like, man, what's, like, why is it out? I go check the breaker. It's not popped. I'm like, plug in here, plug in there. Plug in something I know is working. It's still not working. It's like, oh, let's try the other. Okay, the other outlets are good. What's up? And I'm like, usually there's a GFI because it's a kitchen circuit. Like, kitchens and bathrooms typically have a GFI. I look and look. Like, man, we don't have a GFI in our kitchen. That's really weird. Okay, whatever. Call my electrician buddies. Hey, I got this going on. Like, once before, a wire came loose in a panel and short-circuited a whole circuit. So I'm like, maybe it's that. And I'm like, I really don't want to go into the panel, but, like, walk me through this. What do I need to look for? How can I not get fried? He helps me out, and he's like, but it's probably just a GFI needs reset. And I'm like, no, I checked. There's not one on the circuit. Okay. Another really important thing on this circuit is the coffee maker. So 5 a.m. the next day, I go to make my coffee, and I'm like, okay, we're going to move the coffee machine on top of the washing machine because that circuit's working. As I unplug the coffee machine, I see this little button. It says, reset. I'm such a bonehead. But like with this plug-in and this plug-in, you couldn't see it until you unplugged, and then you could see it. So guess what? I pushed the button. Sometimes we short-circuit. The reason there's a GFI is because if you drop your curling iron into your dishwater in the kitchen, you don't electrocute yourself. Right? It kills the circuit and saves life. It's a life-saving measure. Sometimes the Lord causes us to short-circuit as a life-saving measure, and he says, come away with me. Come and rest with me, all who are weary and burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest as living water for your soul. Do you take advantage of that when you short-circuit? Or do you start punching the reset button or try to find another way to fix it? Because the reset is supposed to, like, get you back up and going at full power. The reset with Christ our Lord is to go away with him and sit and be still and know that He is God, and know that He has everything under control, and not lose our minds with anxiety and fear and doubt, but to re-engage in relationship with Him, to continue digging that relationship. Jeremiah 2:13. Jeremiah 2:13, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Watch out for the cover-up. Your coffee pot might be plugged in over your reset. You might not be seeing the reset right away, and you might try to dig different wells or get help from wrong resources that are not the living water. Because the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he uses smoke and mirrors and cover-up schemes to do so, to deceive. Don't fall into those traps. Make sure you're going to the right resource, the living water, Jesus Christ, as your source of being replenished and reset. Isaiah 43:18-19. Isaiah 43:18-19. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So hit the reset. Hit the reset. Forget about what's happened. Acknowledge it. Don't deny it. The life-giving, the refreshing, the reviving that He offers to us. We need to reconnect to the power source. Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You need to reconnect to your power source. Through prayer and petition, through thanksgiving to God. Say, God, I need you. God, I'm in trouble. I need your help. I need your strength. I need your forgiveness. I need your love. I need your kindness. I need your gentleness. I need your, what do you need from God? And then give Him thanks for who He is. Reconnect through prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. Connect to your power source. And last but certainly not least, John 15:5. John 15:5, this whole chapter, or at least the beginning of the chapter, is all about Jesus being the vine and we're just the branches. But verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Remain in Christ. No matter what you're going through, draw on Him for your source of living water. I had to give my daughter a heart so she knows I still love her. She requires one a service. I'm just a branch, and without Him, I'm nothing. I can do nothing. I can mess up a lot of stuff. I can dig a lot of dry wells. But when I'm plugged into Him and His will for my life and His plan for my life and being obedient to who He calls me to be as a believer in Christ Jesus, we can go forth and move mountains. We can go forth and do the impossible. I love it. My boys, one of my boys a few weeks back, is like, hey, coach, can we pray before the game? Like, yeah, let's do it. So we'd meet and pray. Pretty soon one other kid joined us. Pretty soon another kid joined us. Pretty soon the three of us go out to pray before the game, and I open my eyes and the whole team's huddled around us. just before the state championship game Friday night afternoon, we go to our pregame huddle, and one of the kids goes, "Hey, we're going to stay and pray, so anyone that wants to join us, you're welcome to. If not, we'll see you in the dugout." Nobody went to the dugout. At the end of the prayer, everyone said, "Amen." It was awesome. Like, thank you, Jesus. Digging wells into lives of people around you, showing them love and kindness and compassion. You know, we lost our championship game, and it was heartbreaking and sad, and there were lots of tears. You know, one of the kids said, "You know what? We were fourth place last year. We were second place this year, and we're going to be back in this game next year." That's digging deep wells. In the face of adversity, in the face of things going wrong in your life, you say, "No, we're going to do better tomorrow. We're going to be here again and do better." And we did better than where we were, and that's generational. You should be looking at those around you. I want them to do better than I did in life, in ministry, in finances, in relationship, in physical health, in mental health, in. And generationally multiplying the promises of God to those who come behind us. Can we take a moment and pray? Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, that you give us the opportunity to keep digging. God, you give us second chances, God, to try again. And Father, we just thank you that even when life is falling apart, even when we fail, God, we know we have you to draw on, you to lean into. God, you as our strength and our source of life and direction and strength. And Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness. God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness. And God, I ask that you would just go with us this week. God, show us the areas of our lives where we need to dig new wells, where we need to dig deeper wells. God, where we need to engage and not quit. God, show us, God, all the areas of our lives that you would wish for us to prosper if we would just turn our hearts toward you. God, we ask that you would show us the errors of our way. God, that our hearts, our minds would be in right standing with you. God, bringing you glory and honor in all that we do. God, we just thank you, we praise you, we worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Inside your folder, you have